Glory be to God. He is a savior indeed, and he can move mountains. He's the author of what we're going to be discussing tonight. He's the author of salvation. I want to welcome you. It's 7 minutes past the hour of 7 p.m., and we are broadcasting live from the city of Liverpool. This is Love Assembly, and it's a Bible study. And thank you for joining us tonight from across the world. Thank you for joining across Europe, from the United Kingdom. It's going to be a Bible study, and we want to interact tonight, if possible. We will be looking at an interesting topic, which we will be titling The Gospel That Jesus Christ Proclaimed. The Gospel That Jesus Christ Proclaimed. And by definition of gospel, there are two definitions I've come to realize. Number one, the very simplest definition, the good news. So if you replace that word there, gospel, and you replace it by good news. So it's the good news Jesus Christ proclaimed. The good news Jesus Christ proclaimed. And the second definition, very simple. The gospel is simply the word of God. The word of God, the word that God has declared, the very heart, the very mind, the very thoughts of God. That is what the gospel is. So we are here tonight. Perhaps you'd like to interact with us. I'm not sure if the media team set this up, but if they are hearing me behind the scene, we can go to our Love Slido. I think we still have that on the on the app SLI.do. So if you want to interact anonymously, you can interact on SLI.do. The hashtag is Love Slido, LoveSlido. The media people love Slido. I love Jesus. Glory be to God. And then you are watching us on Facebook. Thank you. We can see some people joining us tonight from Facebook. Thank you. And you are joining us through YouTube. Thank you also. How can you interact? Just go on the comment section. And if you are joining us from Facebook or on YouTube, please, we would like to know where you're joining us from. Just type in where you're joining us from, especially if you're outside of Liverpool, Merseyside, United Kingdom, the north of England, the northwest precisely. So we would like to know where you're joining us from. And tonight we will be having fun. Let us look at the Word of God together. And tonight I want you to know one thing. The Spirit of the Lord God is around, is within some of us, and is upon. But you see, the Spirit of God, we all have a common ground with the Spirit of God. That's God Himself, His Spirit. God is everywhere. God is in every place. God, His presence, His glory fills all in all. So the Spirit of God is around every one of us tonight. But then we want the Spirit of God to be upon. And then, you know, better still, the final dwelling place. I mean, when I say final dwelling place, where the Spirit of God really wants to dwell is inside each and every one of us. So it's not just around, He's upon, and He's within. So right now, in the name of Jesus, let's all pray that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, will not only be around us to teach us, to guide us, to minister to every one of us, even as God said, He will pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. So every one of us will have the Spirit of God. The difference is we can reject Him, we can accept Him, we can interact with him, or we can choose that we will hold on to our status quo and not interact with the Spirit of God. But then God pours out his Spirit. When the Spirit of God is upon a man, especially like we see in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God will empower, enable the man to do much more. But then, under the New Testament, the Spirit of God came within. That is God's ultimate, so that his Spirit, he will breathe upon us and breathe within us, and out of our bellies will flow rivers of living water. How do we interact with the Spirit of God? Let us start by two things, repent and receive. By repentance, we will confess our sins. And by receiving, we will ask and receive that the Spirit of God will not only be around, but will be within us and be upon every one of us. So right now, everybody, wherever you are, let us pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, we are your people. Thank you, where your Spirit is, there's liberty. Thank you for your power is present to heal. Your power is present to cleanse, to forgive. And Lord, we come tonight, every one of us, including myself, and ask for cleansing by the blood of Jesus. Lord, every sin, act of omission, commission, what we've said, what we've thought we shouldn't think, what we've done we shouldn't do, or what we have left undone that we ought to have done, Father, forgive. We ask and receive cleansing. You thank you for the blood of Jesus that is able to cleanse, purge our conscience. And Lord, I thank you for forgiveness of sins. I thank you my sins are forgiven. And I thank you that you don't only forgive, but you heal all iniquities. So everything, every disease, every iniquity, every sickness tonight, thank you for healing. You've already made the provision for the healing, so we receive the healing. And we thank you for the Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit. Thank you for being around us. Thank you for being ready to be upon us, to enable us. And Lord, within. So Father, we ask right now, and I ask, fill me afresh with the Holy Spirit. Fill me. Fill every one of us. Fill everyone under the sound, hearing the sound, not just of my voice, but Lord, hearing the voice of your Spirit, hearing that conviction in their spirit to interact, to repent, to receive cleansing, to receive joy. For the Spirit of the Lord is the Spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. So right now we declare, and I declare, I have the Spirit of love, I have power, and I have a sound mind. And I declare the same upon everyone hearing, listening, and studying with us tonight. We all have the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of power, the Spirit of love, and a sound mind in the name of Jesus. So wherever you are, declare with me, just repeat after me. I have the Spirit of love, I have the Spirit of power, and I have a sound mind. Let's do it one more time. I have the Spirit of love. I have the Spirit of power and a sound mind. And one more time, in the name of the Father, the Son, let's do it in the name of the Holy Spirit right now. I have the Spirit of love. I have the Spirit of power and a sound mind. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Right, the gospel that Jesus Christ proclaimed will be our title tonight. The gospel that Jesus Christ proclaimed. Now, we have been running with that theme for this month of June 2023. It's our underlining theme, and I want to celebrate, appreciate, and thank Apostle Damola Cruz that took us and brought us to the place of remembrance last week, as we took communion, where he encouraged us to believe the gospel. We have to believe the gospel and not to be ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because the gospel is the power of God. The power of God unto salvation. The power unto salvation. The gospel is actually the tool, the good news that God has released, proclaimed to save us. You know, if you're in any form of captivity, any form of bondage, if you are in a self-bondage tonight, because there are some self-captivities we can put ourselves in. You know, Jesus spoke about the man who had a rule, who offended his Lord. The Lord forgave him. And he went out and went and really went all out to grab somebody who had offended him, who owed him. And Jesus said, anyone who doesn't will be put inside the tormentor's chamber. In the name of Jesus, that is self-inflicted disease. I release, as you release, anyone that may have anything against you or you have anything against right now, let's have that freedom tonight to flow with the power of the Holy Spirit. So, every disease and every sickness is healed tonight. Now, the gospel that Jesus Christ proclaimed actually started with John, a man called John the Baptist. I was meditating on this, and I've been meditating on this, you know, since the start of the month. Anyone is asking, where can I really study? I want to study the Bible. You know, last month, at a certain period, you know, in our local fellowship here, we actually went to study the entire book of John. John has 21 chapters. I will encourage you, chapter by chapter, study the book of Luke. In the book of Luke, there are so many things that if you look very well, you will see. Look and study the book of Luke and look very well, and you will see Jesus practically demonstrating the gospel of the kingdom. But let's go to John, a man called John. He was actually born 6 months before Jesus was born. And the Bible reveals to us that they were actually, you know, related. They were cousins, you know, whether first cousins or second cousins, you know, but Elizabeth was like an aunt, a relative to Mary, who became the mother of Jesus. And when you calculate when Elizabeth, in her old age, got the good news she was going to have a baby in her old age, past menopause, that was good news. And I'm telling someone tonight, that which has passed you, that which, you know, I received, like somebody sent me some good news today. And in a way, I was so kind of happy that, wow, because I was picturing and imagining how happy this person was. You know, the person went for a job interview, and I think initially they were told, oh, sorry, we've given this job to somebody else. And of course, they really needed that job. Come on, needed. You know, as I received good news today, so I also received some news that wasn't too pleasant for someone, you know, from someone that is very close to me. But then I remembered the good news that I had received prior concerning the same so-called, you know, that looked like bad news that the person shared with me. But you see, the good news, let me go with the good news somebody received. So they were told that this job had been given to somebody else. And then now they were contacted saying that, oh, we want to offer you that job, the same job that eluded them, that had passed, just like, you know, Elizabeth had passed the age of childbearing until that angel Gabriel came and brought the good news. So tonight, let's look at the good news. So this good news that Jesus actually preached started with John. So come with us tonight. Like I said, let's study together Matthew chapter 3. Let's go to Matthew and chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Let's look at verses 1 to 3, and then we will look at 4, and then we will look at 5. Now, this was John that was known as John the Baptist, John the Baptizer. You know, He's quite very, very, very popular. But you see, we can miss completely why John was actually baptizing. You know, I had the privilege, led by the Spirit many years ago, to actually look at the purpose of why John the Baptist was baptizing people. You know, there was a purpose why he was doing it. And the purpose is what we're about to see. So let's look at John. And sorry, I said John. There's actually a book of John. So if you have a Bible tonight, come with us to Matthew chapter 3. And let's look at verse 1 to verse 3. Matthew chapter 3, from verse 1 to verse number 3. Now, the Bible says, in those days, John the Baptist, look at what he did. He came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Note that word, preaching. Okay, preaching. So what was he preaching? Verse 2, this is what he was preaching. To preach means to proclaim, to declare. What was he preaching? This is what he was saying. And listen, this is very key to the topic we're looking and studying tonight, which we will build upon next week and the week after, as the Lord will enable us. Look at what he was saying when he was preaching, right? Because this will help us to see and know what we also should proclaim when we are preaching. Look at what he said. The Bible said in verse 2, and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then verse 3 explains why he was saying it. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Let me remind us again, we are looking at the gospel Jesus Christ proclaimed. But then, before Jesus Christ proclaimed this gospel, John was proclaiming another, this particular gospel we see here, because we will see something and see a similarity of what John was doing. So, John was fulfilling what had been written by a prophet called Isaiah many years before John was even born. You know, there are things that happen to us in real time. And because we are going through things in real time, we don't realize that actually provision has been made, you know, before what we're going through. Provision, salvation, the way out has actually been proclaimed before. Like somebody might be in trouble right now, but do you realize that it's been written before you even went into that trouble that you have a very present help? God is a very present help in the time of trouble. So before you even entered into trouble at all, help has been declared to be available. You know, when we're in trouble, we worry, we lament, we cry. But you know, these three things, I have found out, and you will agree with me, does not solve any trouble we're in. We lament, we cry, we worry. Never will solve trouble. So what should we do when we're in trouble? We should be reminded of the good news that came before the trouble. What was the good news? That help is even available, even in the time of trouble. So rather than worrying, somebody's asking, lamenting, and crying, what should I do? Hey, if help is available, ask for help. Go to the helper. The Bible tells us that we have a high priest. His name is Jesus. He's seated on the right hand of the Father. He's ever living to make intercession for us. The Bible says that he has been touched. He's gone through every infirmity, trouble, problem we will ever go through. So he knows how we feel. He knows the trouble he's given. I mean, listen, if you can hear me, you've not gone through what Jesus went through. Have you been beaten, battered, bruised, broken, nailed to the cross? A spear driven to your side and killed? No, that's why you can hear me. So he's seen it all. He's seen the worst. So that's why he understands. So he now says, the Bible tells us, that because Jesus has been through everything we have been through and understands what we have been through, he said, let us therefore do what? Come boldly to the throne of grace. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. That is the good news, that I'm in trouble, but yet help is available. So the good news has gone ahead. Like, you know, the news someone gave me today, which wasn't really pleasant. And I remember that God had promised that when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the fire, I will be with you. That I will never leave nor forsake you. And I remembered, you know, I shared briefly with the person that this is what I believe, you know, God had showed me ahead of time. That you see, where we think help was, the helper, the people who promised to help and withdrew the help, what God showed me was even without, you know, the so-called criteria was not met and mercy prevailed, and this person was let go, that let's still keep hope alive, let's believe that God indeed is our helper. Maybe man has failed you. You're hearing this tonight. What promises people have made to you, they've withdrawn their promises, they are not fulfilling it. Listen, come boldly tonight to the throne of grace and ask for mercy. Ask for help, because help is available. Stop crying. Stop worrying. Stop lamenting. It will not solve anything. So John the Baptist came, fulfilling what has been said before. And what was it preaching? The gospel of the kingdom. He says, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. In other words, the kingdom of heaven is near. You see, in those days, the Jews, they, you know, when they say the kingdom of heaven, it's out of reverence. You know, they mean the kingdom of God. But because they have so much reverence of God that they don't call God God like we do today. You know, in Hebrew, Jehovah, Yahweh, it's so, it's a dread to call that name. So rather than saying the kingdom of Yahweh or the kingdom of God, they will say the kingdom of heaven, so that, you know, they are safe. You dare not call God by name. You dare not mention that name, because that name was a sacred name revealed, you know, to their fathers, you know, the time of Abraham, the time of Isaac, Jacob, and then when Moses came and gave, you know, Moses gave what is known as the Old Testament, you know, and Moses was a type of Christ who came to deliver people from captivity. So the kingdom of heaven is near. You know what? Help is here. But one thing first, which is the key thing, and we'll be building on this as we go on in this study. Repent. Listen, that word is very key. Listen. Okay, let's go back to the scenario of somebody in trouble. And the natural thing we do when we're in trouble is what? We lament. Talk about all the trouble. You don't know what I'm going through. Oh, this happened to me. This happened to that. You lament, maybe seeking for pity. And listen, you get a pity party. Pity parties never, no matter the sympathy, they will never solve your problem. They will just sit down with you and sympathize. And that's it. Help doesn't come. You know, so you lament, talk about everything you are going through, but still doesn't solve the problem. You go into, you know, you cry. You just cry and cry and cry and cry and cry. Listen, crying can be therapeutic, but then after you cry, you clean your eyes, the trouble is still there. I don't think I want to cry, clean my eyes, and still find out the trouble is there and doesn't solve my problem. It only just makes me express my emotions, right? I want the problem solved. So we lament, we cry. Doesn't solve any problem. And then, you know, we now enter into a perpetual state of worry. You worry and worry and worry and worry and worry. Still, it only makes the situation worse. Listen, ask for help because help is here. So those are the natural things, emotions and thoughts that run through our mind, to lament, to cry, to worry. But then the key to this kingdom, this good news, is that stop thinking that way. That's what repentance means. Put simply, stop thinking that way. Stop worrying. Stop lamenting, talking about every problem you're going through. Stop lamenting, stop crying, stop worrying. Change the way you are thinking. In other words, let this good news affect the way you think. Let the news you are about to receive or you're receiving right now change, transform your thinking. So for you to enjoy the kingdom, the things of the kingdom, of this good news, the gospel of the kingdom, the good news, the kingdom that is in the kingdom, I have to change the way I think. I have to let the good news affect my thinking. And that is what repent means. If we don't repent, if we don't change the way we think, we will not enjoy the kingdom. We will not see, partake, enjoy, experience the kingdom. Are you in some form of trouble? Are you in some form of danger? Are you in some form of trial right now? Change the way you think. Repent. Good news is here. Repent. Embrace this good news. Please don't wallow in self-pity. Don't enjoy lying on that bed, paralyzed for 38 years. And the one, the bearer of the good news comes and says, do you want to be healed? And you are still talking about your problem, like that man by the pool of Bethesda. Come on. The good news is, do you want to be healed? Because the healer is here. Rise up. Take up your bed. Walk. Rise up. Why? Because your sins are forgiven. Whatever brought you to that state is forgiven. That is the good news. What is a better news than to hear that mercy is prevailing over judgment, rather than me being judged, rather than fire and brimstone falling down from heaven and consuming me for all my iniquities, for everything I've done wrong, for every put I've put wrong, for every wrong thing I've said, rather than that coming good news says, no, I would rather show you mercy than judgment. What other good news do you want? Repent. Change the way you think. Let your thoughts start aligning with this gospel of the kingdom of heaven. So that is what John was saying. We see this in different scriptures. You know, we see it in the gospels, which is, you know, what is known as the gospels, coincidentally, is the book of Matthew, the book of Mark, the book of Luke, and the book of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. That's what, you know, people refer to as the gospels. Listen, have you gone into those gospels and repented and allowed it to change the way you think? Because we will see, Jesus did not just preach it. He demonstrated it. He lived it. He changed people. He brought good news. He brought good to people. You know what Acts chapter 10 verse 38 says about him? It says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. Remember we prayed as we started. The Holy Spirit is around you, but if you don't embrace him, you will wallow in your self-pity, wallow in your sin, wallow in your, you know, bitterness, wallow in everything. Meanwhile, the comforter, the one who will relieve you, is around you, but you're not embracing him. You're not allowing him to be upon you. You're not allowing him to even come within. Come on. Come on. Be rest assured. Jesus said, come to me, you who labor, you who are heavy laden. I will give you rest. come and learn from me. Come, let what I'm saying change your thinking, your mind. You will find rest for your soul. Right? For your soul. So look at it. He went about doing good. He was doing good. The bearer of good news does good, giving people a good experience, healing those who were sad, healed, paralyzed, lame, blind, good. He was just doing good. Look at it, healing all those who are oppressed of the devil. He was casting out devils. Devil, get out of here. Stop this oppression. Stop this infirmity. You held this person in captivity. Some of us are holding on to devils. I'm telling you, because if the bearer of the good news is here, if good news is here, if the comforter is here, if the Holy Spirit of God is here, and you refuse the Holy Spirit, you reject the Holy Spirit, you don't embrace the Holy Spirit, definitely you will embrace another spirit. And that spirit will be unholy. That spirit will be wicked. That spirit will oppress you. Right? Rather than relieve, you will be oppressed. You'll be suppressed. You will be in captivity. Come on. Don't do yourself disservice tonight. This is the gospel of the kingdom of God. That is what John preached. He proclaimed. He said it. And look at it. Let's go to the account of what he said in the same. Let's look at Luke, the Luke account. Let's just go to verse 3 of Luke. Luke chapter 3 and verse 3. Luke 3:3. So that you see another thing to corroborate what John was doing. Come on. Are you going to repent? Are you going to allow these words you are hearing tonight to change your thinking so that you can begin to enjoy the kingdom, the good things, the good and perfect gifts from above? Luke chapter 3 and verse number 3. Look at it. Now, what was John preaching? Look at the good news he was preaching, broken down in Luke chapter 3 and verse number 3. If that can be displayed, and if people are online, if you are watching, come on, let's proclaim this good news together. Send something, text something, text the good news, text what is happening, all right, as you're hearing this tonight. We want to see your comments. Come on, declare I'm healed. Thank God for the word you've just heard. Thank God if anything that has been said right now, addresses your situation. Just say, I receive, and I thank, and I say amen to that. You know, let's see you. Let's embrace this good news tonight. The Bible says, look at the summary of what John was preaching. He went into all the region around Jordan. Look at it. Preaching a baptism of repentance. Change the way you think. Why? For the remission of sins. That word remission is for the forgiveness of sins. So if you think he was baptizing, this is the reason why he was. I mean, if that's all you think, that, oh, he was called John the Baptist. This is the gospel he preached. He was demonstrating it through the baptism. In other words, I am baptizing you to let you know that your sins are forgiven. Your sins can be forgiven. This good news is to tell you your sins can be forgiven. How? Let the good news change your thinking. Oh, maybe you're thinking, oh, God will never forgive me. I've done something really, really bad. And, you know, I deserve to be punished. I deserve. That is human thinking. God's thinking is, yes, though your sin be red, red as scarlet, red, crimson, red. He said, you know what? They can be white as snow. I can forgive you, and I will forgive you. The repentance is not just saying you're sorry, but recognizing that, look, my thinking must change. My thinking must change. It's not the sorry, it's the thinking that has changed, and I realize that I no longer think like what I did that I am sorry for. I'm thinking now the good news that I'm forgiven. Yes, I did it. The good news is it doesn't impute, it doesn't take records of our wrongs. It doesn't reward us according to our sins. Psalm 103, that is one of the benefits, the good news, good news. You know, if you live in the United Kingdom and, you know, people apply for benefits, and when they receive letters that, wow, their benefits have been granted, a benefit is something given to benefit you. It's like a good news also. It's like a good news. Are you getting me? But listen, don't just live on benefits. Live to benefit somebody also. Be a blessing. Yes, some people actually need it because they are incapacitated, because, you know, temporarily they are having problems and things like that. We're not ruling that out. But you see, benefit, good news is to benefit. The benefit of God is that, one, all your sins are forgiven. Two, all your sicknesses, iniquities, diseases healed. Iniquities forgiven and sicknesses healed. What better good news do you want to hear? Thank you very, very much, Mary. Thank you, Chris Harry. I can see your affirmation there, because you are not just affirming. You, that is your experience, and that will be your experience even as you have declared it in the name of Jesus. He said the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And the beauty of that is once sin is taken out, forgiveness comes, healing comes, wholeness comes. You see, wholeness comes. So that's a summary of the gospel that John preached. Now, just to highlight as we study on tonight, and I introduce us to the gospel that Jesus proclaimed, and we will round up with that tonight. But do you know why John was preaching that good news? The gospel of the king, saying that repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He did it, and I found out for these following reasons. Thank you, Grandma. Yes. That God has perfected all that concerns you and your entire household. That is the good news. By his grace and mercy, yes, he's forgiven all our sins in the name of Jesus. You see, but let me also chip this in. Once we are forgiven, the instruction is, listen, go and sin no more. Don't go back to what you did. Don't go back to your old way of thinking, you know. I've been personally meditating that, oh, Lord, I want to maintain the fact that I know all my sins are forgiven. So at every point in time, I don't have any unconfessed sin in my life. And secondly, to know that all sicknesses, whether I know it, diseases, whether I know it or not, they are gone. I am healed of every sickness and every disease. And not only that, I am a carrier, a bearer of that good news. I can go out and proclaim that good news. I can go out and lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. Why? Because I have experienced the good news. I'm a bearer of the good news. I'm a container. I'm a vessel through which the good news flows and the power of that good news. So, John, this is why he was declaring. One, the Bible tells us to prepare the way for the salvation of the entire human race. That's why John came, to tell the whole world that you know what salvation is available. Because all have sinned, the Bible tells us. We have all sinned. We are born into sin. You don't need to teach a child to sin. Somebody's asking what is sin. Listen, transgression of God's law. Transgression of, you know, if you're not walking in love, for example, you're sinning. If you are worrying, you are sinning. If you don't embrace the salvation God has given and the good news that God is telling you tonight, that is also sin, because it means that you have crossed over to the other side. And anything that is not right before God, the summary of sin is that all unrighteousness is sin. Anything that is not right. Yes, thank you, Victor. Yeah, the Lord loads you daily with benefits. Let that change your thinking. That is repentance. God bless you, sir. So he was doing that to prepare the way that salvation is here. That is to prepare the way for the salvation of the entire human race. To tell people that the Savior is coming, Messiah, right? Make straight the way of the Lord. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. We see that in Mark chapter 1, verse 1 to 5, Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. You know, if you read all these things as we study together. And then he was now baptizing, right? The baptism was the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So in other words, he would tell people, you know what? Change the way you think. Stop thinking that way. Stop doing the things that are bad, right? Come. Salvation is here. The Savior is coming. Come. Your sins are washed. And he baptizes people. He dips them into that river Jordan, and they come out washed from that river Jordan. But then he now told them something, right? That I'm doing this also to reveal that the Messiah is amongst us. But the day he will be revealed, the day everybody will see him, it will be revealed through this baptism. And that was why Jesus showed up. But let me tell us one key thing that John said. John now told everybody that don't just confess your sins. Don't just repent, change the way you're thinking and asking for forgiveness of sins. Now, let your actions from now on show that you are, number one, you've repented. Number two, you've confessed your sins and your sins are truly forgiven. How? Through your action. He told them, bring the fruit of the repentance. Let's see it, that truly your thinking has changed. You know, Jesus said something about us dying, that we should die to sin. You know, a man of God once said, he said it in a joking way, but it's true. Some of us, we don't die, we just faint. You know, and when you faint, you know, if they sprinkle water on you, you come back and you are the same again. But when you are dead, you are dead. Be dead to sin. Don't think that way again. And let me tell you, one of the ways you've known that you've repented is through your tongue. Your thinking has changed. Your tongue will change. The way you think determines the way you talk. Because our words, our thoughts expressed. You know, we can suppress our thoughts by just thinking and thinking and thinking, but you express them through words. So are you still saying the same thing? That's why we're interacting tonight. That declare that your sins are forgiven. Declare that your sicknesses, diseases are healed. Declare that you are free from worry, from lamenting, from, come on, wipe your eyes. Declare that this trouble I'm in, I have help, and the help is here, and I'm asking for help, and I've received the help. Declare it, embrace it, and let's see the fruit. It changes in the way you talk. The way you talk. That's number one. And then, you know, if you read it through, he was now telling them, you know, that how will I know if I'm truly repentant? Okay? What is the fruit? Let's look at it. Let's look at it from Luke chapter 10. I think it's Luke chapter 10, from verse 10 onwards. They were asking him that, okay, what should I do now? Now that I've repented, right? What should I do? No, sorry, that's not the one. Let's look at the same, I think it's the same Matthew and chapter 3. They were asking him now, because when he told them, let's see through your actions. Your lifestyle has to change. If you say you have repented, your sins are forgiven, it should show. It should reflect in your action, right? It should reflect in your action. It must reflect in your action. Let me just try and get exactly where they were asking John the Baptist, because this is very important that we actually see this, all right? Yeah, Matthew chapter 3. Let me see if it's... okay, he told them in Matthew 3, verse 6, 3 verse 6, sorry, verse 8, that, you know, you bear fruit, produce fruit that proves your repentance. In other words, produce fruit. So I'm just trying to see where they were asking him. I think it must be, let's see if it's in the Luke's account. I was studying it, you know, where they were all asking him, where the soldiers were asking him, what should we do? Where the tax collectors were asking him, what should we do? I lighted it. If you are watching and you know where that is, it's a Bible study. So let's look for it together. It's either in the Mark account. Let's go to the book of Mark. Bring fruit for repentance, because it's just important that we see the practical things that we can do that shows that truly, 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 truly we have repented. Truly we have repented. I'm just trying to see where it is. The soldiers asked him, the tax collectors asked him. If anybody finds it, you can help us search for it. I wrote it down, actually, but then I'm trying to see. That's it. It's in the Luke chapter 3. Okay, thank you very much, media team. Luke chapter 3, let's begin to read from verse 10, right? Because they were asking, what shall we do then to show we have, you know, he told them, come on, show that you've repented. Don't just ask now to be baptized and your sins are forgiven. Don't just declare it. Let's see your action. After your tongue changes, we should see it in your action. Come on. Your countenance, your body language, everything must show that there's repentance. So they said, what should we do? He said, anyone who has two coats, oh, come on. Let him give to the one who has none. And anyone who has food, do likewise. Look, stop there. A sign that you have repented, a sign that your thinking has changed, a sign that truly sins are forgiven is in the way you relate to human beings around you. You cannot say you love God and not love people. Your love for God is shown by your love for people, your love for human beings. So sharing, caring, that's just what this is. Some of us are just acquiring. You know you have this and somebody lacks this, but you keep acquiring. You don't share. You don't give. Come on. You don't give. You know, let me tell you, if you belong to any local fellowship or a local church or anything like that, you want to know why people take offering, go and check the book of, go and check the Bible. Even Jesus was given offering by those who are following him. The women who followed him, the Bible said out of their substance, they were given to him to meet the needs and to help make provision for everywhere was going doing good. And if you're in a local fellowship, you give into that fellowship because that's what keeps the fellowship going, gives the good news. Some people lack. You know, look at the Acts of the Apostle. Everybody brought into the temple. There are people who don't give at all. It's just me, my own, and it's just my trouble, and that's it. That's all I think about. You don't care about other people. No, you have two, give one. You have food, give to the one who has none. Come on, look for people to bless. All right, let's go on. 12, the gospel that Jesus preached. The Bible says the publicans, the tax collectors, they came to him to be baptized. And they said, what should we do? Look at what he said. Collect no more than you're authorized to. Come on. Collect no more than what is appointed for you. Stop cheating people. Stop taking advantage of people. Stop using your position to unduly take advantage of people, right? You are in a position of authority or you are given a task. Please do what you have to do, right? Don't cheat people, okay? The soldiers came, verse 14. What shall we do? He said to them, don't intimidate anyone or accuse falsely. Be content with your wages. One version says, stop threatening people. Stop extorting money and then by threats And then you are falsely accusing people all over the place, and you say you have repented. And he says, look at it, be content with your wages, be content. Godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into this world. It's certain we'll take nothing out. Some things we are killing ourselves. We want to acquire this, acquire that. You lose your breath, or you just lose one limb, or you know, you fall into sickness. All those things won't matter anymore. It's your breath that matters, that will count. And finally, you know, when you look at all this, you know, he just told them, there must be fruit that shows you've repented. That is the gospel Jesus preached. We cannot say we have embraced this gospel, the good news, and it doesn't change the way we talk or in our actions. So next week, we will look now at Jesus himself. But I will leave us with this scripture to let you see that Jesus preached the same gospel of the kingdom that John preached. Let's look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. And then we will look at Mark chapter 1, verse 14 to 15, and we'll close tonight. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Jesus now, the Bible said, from that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Where did we first hear that? John said it. Same gospel Jesus preached. That's the gospel of the kingdom of God. That's the gospel Jesus preached. The gospel that would come to change your thinking, your words, and your lifestyle, and enjoy the things, the good news of the kingdom. And finally, Mark chapter 1, verse 14 to 15. Mark chapter 1, verse 14 to 15. Look at it. The Bible said, look, this was even now, John was not out of the way. After John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee. Doing what? Preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. Right? Verse 15. Saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Look at the next thing. I love this. Repent and believe in this gospel. And that is a good place to start tonight. Everything you've heard, has it changed your thinking? Is it going to change the way you talk? Is it going to change your lifestyle? Believe in this gospel, in the goodness you've had tonight. And I pray right now in the name of Jesus for everyone who has heard or will hear and will keep hearing, Holy Spirit, as you keep resonating, reminding us of the words of Christ. I pray in the name of Jesus right now. Jesus went about doing good. This word, do good, will do us good. Anyone that is experiencing anything that is a disease, not making them to feel good, Lord, in the name of Jesus, remove that pain, remove that sickness by the power of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. I rebuke every sickness. I cast out every oppression of the devil, any demon, any principality, any power that is oppressing your mind, keeping your mind in captivity, every spirit of infirmity, every spirit of bitterness, every spirit of unforgiveness, cast out in the name of Jesus. You are loose from that tormentor's chamber, that which is tormenting your mind, that is not giving you peace of mind. You are loose. I cast that spirit out in the name of Jesus. And I declare your sins are forgiven. All your sicknesses and diseases are healed. In the name of Jesus, believe, repent, believe in this good news, and it is well with you. And finally, don't be ashamed of this gospel you've heard. Declare it, proclaim it, embrace it, keep speaking it, keep living it, and God bless you. And thank you. We want to hear your testimonies, And thank you, everyone, contributing. We will check and we'll address this and take it further from where we stopped tonight. In Jesus' name. I hand you over now to the media team.